Hello, caller, you on the air?
Well, what's up, Vern? It's Tank.
Tank, my boy, hold on, man. Let me give you the clap, man.
All right.
Tank, first of all, man, I want to say thank you for calling in, man. We really appreciate it.
Man, it's all love, man. We like family, bro.
I know, man. You know, I be bragging about you, dog. I ain't going to even lie.
Yeah.
I'll be bragging about you. So listen, what we gonna do, man? We got our award winning sports writer here today, and this is our guy. And when we do interviews with guys like yourself, we let him start off, and we talk about your playing history and stuff like that. Then me and Slay is gonna chop it up with you. I got some questions for you, and Slay does. But again, man, we can't thank you enough for calling in and taking the time out.
No problem, bro.
So this is Tim. Tim, this is Tank, D. Tank Daniels, man.
That's the man.
And the one thing I will tell you, and Tim, I know you've seen him last year. Tank, me and Slay, we coach a fifth and sixth grade basketball team. It's a travel team. So we told them, hey, you guys are going to be able to play in the celebrity game this year.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, man, you know what we got to meet? We met Tank Daniels.
Yeah.
And they said, like, the whole joint. I was like, what? I was like, yeah, I met him. He's like, is he going to be there? I was like, yes, he will definitely be there. So your name ringing bells with the young kids, man.
I appreciate it.
All right, Tim, all yours.
All right. Hey, Tank, nice to meet you, man.
All right, man. Nice to talk with you, Tim.
I appreciate that. Now, it all started down in Arkansas, right? You came from Arkansas, and you went to Harding University. Is that right?
Yeah, man, I'm a long way away from home now, man.
There you go. There you go. I mean, but tell me about your whole career coming up. I mean, I know you played a little quarterback in high school, right? Some receiver and linebacker as well. So you did a little of everything.
Well, you know, being a country boy, like a lower school in Arkansas, like there was no specialization of positions when I was playing.
That's right.
Quarterback, DN, linebacker, I kick, punted, extra point, you know, one of those deals, you know, kind of like the way Pop Warner is, you know, where
your
best player is always on the ball, you know.
There you go. And now you played for the Bison, right? Harding University.
I did, yep.
All right. And there you were a two-time All-American?
Yeah, man, I was an All-American. I redshirted my freshman year.
Mm-hmm.
And then from then on, like, I was first-team All-Conference every year. Just really, you know, worked my tail off. I always had a dream of, you know, making it to the NFL, and I didn't let, you know, going to a Division II school,
right,
like, scare me from my dreams.
Well, that's the thing, too. I mean, here you work hard as any Division I athlete. You had all these accolades, all these awards rolling in. I mean, did you feel that would hurt you as you were going up? I mean, did it discourage you anything, like, I'm never going to make my dream of making the NFL? Or did you realize that, hey, regardless of where I play in college, I'm going to make it to the show?
Yeah, no, not really. It was hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like when I was coming out, like, it was very rare for Division II or Division III athlete to make it pro. You know, it was almost one of those things to where if you didn't go D1, you know, D1, AA is what they used to call it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you didn't get a chance.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like, being 6'4", you know, when I came out of college, I was 240.
Mm-hmm.
I was a fast kid. So, you know, I made it hard for them to say no to me.
There you go. Now you were an unsigned or an undrafted free agent. What made you sign with the Eagles? What was it about the Eagles, their pitch, that made you say, I'm going to go with this team?
So Philly was known for giving, like, their free agents a real chance of making a team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some other teams, they're signed free agents. Undrafted free agents, but you really don't have a chance of making a team.
That's right.
They kind of like use you. But my agent and myself, you know, did a little research. We were looking on the roster. At that time, you know, Philly was keeping guys from that was undrafted. You know, Philly would cut, you know, a fourth, fifth, sixth round draft pick.
Exactly. Now, from Philly, you played there 2006. You went to the Big Blue.
Yeah, man.
There you go.
Yeah.
Where everybody around here knows you from, you know, 2007, 2008, and you got that ring, won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Well, tell me what it was like going to a Super Bowl. I mean, so many people watch a Super Bowl. Everybody watches a Super Bowl, for that matter. But to actually play in it, that's got to blow your mind, to be able to play in something of that magnitude that everybody in America and beyond is watching.
Yeah, you know, that was something that I honestly have to say, that was bigger than my dream.
Mm-hmm.
I never even dreamed of, you know, like running down on the opening kickoff. like in the Super Bowl 42, like seeing all the cameras flash. That was like, man, like it took me a couple plays, honestly, to, you know, catch my breath. I'm like, wow, like everybody's watching me right now.
That's it. Tank Daniels in the spotlight. But, I mean, here you are, like you say, you're from a small town in Arkansas. You play Division II ball at Harding University. You're a Division II All-American, but here you are, an undrafted free agent, now playing in the show, in the biggest game in America against the likes of Tom Brady. I mean, that again, that's just amazing. And then to be able to, like, get that ring at the end, that's got to be more than a dream come true.
It is, you know, even now, like this year was our 10-year anniversary from winning Super Bowl 42.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, all the guys came back and, you know, just reminiscing. It's, like, life is so fast, but, like I wear my ring every now and then when I go out.
Oh, for sure.
And everybody, you know, I take my wife out to meet with dress up and I have my ring on. And, you know, people just stare across the room and it's like, wow, like, you know, sometimes I take for granted that, like, I have a Super Bowl ring, so
that's
when I talk to like fans, they're like, "Wow, can I just look at it?" I'm like, "Man, you can touch it," and some people be like, "Wow, like I touched it,
taking
pictures of it." Like I feel like others make me really realize like how blessed and fortunate I was to play in a Super Bowl. You know, my career lasted 5 years, but even lasted 5 years, and I've known other friends that have played 10, 13, 15 years, but not, you know, win it all. And so, like, when I look back, it's like, wow, man, you know, I was just truly blessed and, like, honored to play for, like, such an awesome organization like the Giants, play for the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, these are, you know, like, huge market teams. And it's just, you know, even though my career was shorter than I, you know, wanted it to be, it's just, like, wow, like, man, like, I was a cool kid, you know?
There you go. Now, I know you got into some coaching. Are you still coaching down at Don Bosco Prep?
Yep, I coach at Bosco. I'm actually just leaving practice. Man, coaching at Don Bosco has been a blessing. That's like a college program.
I was going to say, that is a big-time program. Now, tell me about one of your guys just signed with Ohio State, right? Tyler Friday.
Yeah, Tyler Friday. Yep, he's going to Ohio State. You know, he and I, you know, he was one of my guys. I coached the D-line last year.
Right.
And, like, as high as a level that I played, like, here's a kid that told Nick Saban no. You know, like, can you imagine, like, telling one of the top coaches in college football at all times, like, thank you, but
no thanks. I can't imagine.
Let me interrupt you real quick just to say
roll tide. I just want to throw that out there.
You know, I root for my, you know, the SEC. It's always in my blood. You know, I definitely, you know, I was rolling tide during the championship game.
All right. There you go. Now, I know you've been playing in Rashad's celebrity basketball game. Tell me about your basketball skills and what you bring to the table.
Man, you know, I used to think I could really play basketball. Like, football players always think they could be in the NBA.
Of course.
Until you play against guys that could be in the NBA. But no, it's always really cool to get out there and, you know, to play basketball. It's really just a competitive spirit. Even though, you know, it started off being all fun and games, like, man, I like winning.
Absolutely.
I don't care what we're doing. Like, I'm not just out there to, you know, just let somebody embarrass me. But, like, it's always such a cool experience just to be out there playing. Rashad and I have been friends, you know, since, what, 2009.
That's right.
So, yeah, man, and it's just, you know, that brotherhood from, you know, strapping it up, playing football. Like, I'd do anything for them, you know. And it's like, for people that didn't play football or play team sports, like, it's something about, like, you know, just really out there, blood, sweat, and tears with a guy. Because I look at him like my own, you know, I have one brother. But, like, I have so many other brothers that I gained through football.
No doubt about it. It's the beauty of that sport, man.
Yeah. While we're standing there, Tank, I just want to talk about the relationship between you and Rashad, like when you first met him, how you guys became close, and tell us some stories about Rashad between you and him.
You know what it is? It's like, Rashad played at Albany, and that's not, you know, the Alabamas, the LSU, the USC, and being a small school guys, we were magnets to each other, because we knew that everything was against us being small school players. And so, like, our relationship formed from that, you know, just being small school players. When he came to Philly, you know, like that was my second year in the NFL. And so, like, I actually felt like, you know, being my second year in the NFL, they're like, I'm almost like the godfather, showing guys the ropes, showing him where to go eat, where to buy clothes, this and that when we were in Philly. But Rashad and I, like our story is really unique. So when he was in, when he was signed to Philly, I was on the team. I get cut. The same year that I get cut, I go to the Giants. He stayed in Philly. Then the next year, we like flip-flop. So I was in New York, win the championship. The following year, I go back to Philly. And so when I was back in Philly, the cool thing about it is so Rashad like stayed at a place that I used to live at when I was here. And so my girlfriend, my wife now, still lived up in the New York area. And so when I would come up, like I would hook up with Shirai, Rashad, and like sometimes I would even sleep on their couch, like on my days off, because I would chill with my girl and then sleep on their couch. We would go out and like just, you know, it's just a relationship. Yeah, how you doing? But it was just, man, it's so many stories I probably can't say on the air. But like, you know, you got to think, man, we were both small town, small town guys in big cities, put a little money in our pocket. So, of course, we got into some, we probably got into some things that we shouldn't have, but that's my boy, man. I can't tell you enough, like, how many times, like, we went out and hung out and just really took care of each other, man.
Do you think the small town mentality is what keeps you so focused? Because when you're at these celebrity tournaments, man, as you was talking about the ring, that's how I was, man. I was in awe. But then the really cool thing about the ring was the next year, I said, Tank, did you bring the ring? And he was like, of course I did. You want it? And you just took it off and gave it to me. And then I just went around to Giant fans like, yo, come here, hurry up. You can take a picture. Like, do you think, I mean, there's other guys that come, and they're all great. Yeah. But you just seem to be like one of those guys like, it doesn't matter, man. I'm here to make everybody happy. Your personality just glows.
Yeah. So, you know what it is? It's just the way I was raised. Mm-hmm. You know, like football is beautiful. Like, I won the Super Bowl. I love my ring. That doesn't define me. Mm-hmm. You know, like, the way I treat people, and, like, you never know, like, me giving a kid a high five and saying, hey, you work hard, you can be in the NFL, too. Like what that'd do to a kid. Because, like, the same way, like, somebody, like, motivated me and pushed me, like that's what my ultimate goal is, to maybe one day a kid from there say, hey, when you came to that tournament and to that, you know, celebrity basketball game, you made me wear your ring, and that changed my life, you know. So I just try to use my platform for good. There's so many other things out here going on that I feel like that's why I like working with this opportunity. Use my platform for good. If I can help a kid, you know, dream big and dare to be great, then, like, use that. Let a kid touch a ring or a fan, take a picture with myself or with other athletes. Because that's really what it's all about. It's bigger than the money, the contract, and, like, what all you think is cool. Like, my ultimate, like, dream and goal is to inspire kids to do the same thing and better than myself and the other celebrities that come there have done.
Yo, Tank, I'm going to tell you, man, Slay, you took a picture with that ring, didn't you?
Yeah, I definitely did.
And you're a 49er fan.
Yeah,
so.
I covered up the Giants, so. I just want to apologize that you had to play for them, Tank. But,
it's funny. Like I said, you know, I'm an 80s baby, and there was a time that it was only two or three games on TV, so I actually grew up being a 49ers fan.
Okay.
So, Jerry Rice, Ronnie Lott.
Hey, man, you're getting better and better every year.
So, you know, man, I had my little Sears wish book. I had a Joe Montana jersey.
Yeah, I knew there was something special about you. Every year you get better and better, man. I just want to ask you, like, being a close friend of Rashad's, and what was your reaction, like, when you saw, like, how large his head was? Like, was you, like, surprised? Like, was you, like...
Come on, come on, boy, some swag. That's why I got the name. So big head people got to stick together.
Tank, what's one of the wildest things you ever bought, man? Once you got a little bit of money, you probably come from a small town, you probably went crazy with the money, right?
Man, that's what I tell all my kids. My first game check was $10,000. And so, like, man, so I go to the bank. And, like, I cashed it, you know, because I didn't even have a bank account. When I came out of college, I didn't even have a bank. And so I go and I was like, you know, I want to cash my check. And it was like, you know, big bills or small bills. And, you know, I've never seen that much money in my life. So, you know what? I'm talking big bills. I wanted all 100. Here it is. I'm thinking I'm going to have to go into this back room, you know, get a briefcase and handcuff it to my wrist. $10,000, like, it's nothing. But, like, I remember, like, getting all my money, like, throwing it on my bed and just taking pictures of it with my little Motorola Razor phone. You know, and, like, yo, man, like, I made it. But, you know, like, I wasn't really into chains and stuff like that, but, like, just buying clothes, like, even now, like, probably, like, 15 years now. Like, I have a pair of Louis Vuitton boat shoes that are horrendous. But, you know, they're Louis Vuittons. They, you know, they're right. Louis. So I was like, yeah, I'm thinking I'm clean. So, like, you know, just buying food and stuff like that. And, like, the club life, you know, going out, you know, bottle service. I'm in there with rappers. Thinking, like, you know, that I'm a millionaire, but I was far from it.
I want to ask you a question about, and this one's a little bit deep, you know.
Yeah.
We're talking NFL, so let's talk about CTE. And yeah. what is your opinion on the younger kids playing football and how to make it safer for these kids to be able to play? Because parents might be seeing these reports and thinking, you know, I don't want my kid playing football anymore.
Absolutely. Being a father myself, part of it is like, I'm not going to let my kids play tackle football when they're second, third grade. The pads are bigger than the little kids. And so also, like, what I think they're doing a great job of is educating coaches. You know, like, now we, if you know better, then do better. You know, when we were coming up, you know, it was, you know, what they call a bull in the ring, you know, where the bullies just run over all the smaller kids. But now we know that, like, hey, there's no place for that. Like, I don't want to scare the smaller kids out of not playing football because they can't tackle the kid that hit his growth spurt before everyone else. And so, you know, having educated coaches, teaching kids how to keep their head out of it. You know, like, when I was taught to tackle, like, you was face-to-face, head up, you know. And, like, now we're just getting so much smarter, you know. And, like, if you feel like, oh, coach, like, I'm seeing stars, like, that's the first signs of, like, a concussion.
Yep.
You know, like, it was like, I joke about it now, but, you know, that was a badge of honor when I played. If you kept playing when you were, like, when you had slanted vision, but when you were seeing stars, it was like, yo, he tough. You know, but, like, you know, as we all getting older now, it's like, wow, man, like, that's not smart. You know, like, you know, we only have one life, and the quality of the life that I want to live, you know, having kids, I want to see my kids. And so, with all the technology that they have now, you know, they have protective helmets. The coaches are teaching, you know, face out tackles. The Seahawks are teaching, you know, the Hulk tackling, you know, where you grab and roll. So it's definitely getting safer. But for myself, I don't really see the need for, you know, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth grade kids really wearing full pads. I myself didn't play full padded football until the seventh grade.
Okay. So you got a question?
No.
Tim?
Just wanted to ask you, what is your feelings on the state of the NFL right now? I mean, this year it seemed like every other week you heard something controversial coming out of the NFL.
Yeah.
Whether it was the anthem kneeling or standing, or cats getting into trouble, whatever the case may be. How do you feel, though, going forward, the NFL, the status of the NFL in general? You think it's in good shape still?
The NFL is definitely in good shape. You know, sometimes when you look at the media and you look at the news, they tell you that ratings are down and this and that.
Right.
But, like, man, this, like, I don't know how the ratings could be down and these players are making more and more and more money. Like, that makes zero sense. But, like, and along with, like, there will always be, you know, bad apples.
Right.
But, like, you can't let one bad apple ruin it for everybody. Even look at our government. With things, look at Hollywood. Like, am I supposed to look at all the actors now? It's like, oh, you know, like, they're doing things because of maybe one or two guys. Like, you judge each man for who that man is, not who mm-hmm. he associates with and what he does. And also, like, athletes, you know, they're I'm not saying they're not role models, but, you know, like, they're just like you and I. Like, I make mistakes to this day. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I think the average fan look at athletes like, oh, he's stupid. Like, mm-hmm. what a dumb mistake. Like, we're so quick to throw stones at our athletes, but then we look at our teachers, our government, our quote-unquote average Joes, that's mm-hmm. okay for them. But, mm-hmm. like, we just hold our athletes to a different standard, mm-hmm. which I know life isn't fair, but, like, I can't say, like that's the NFL is in bad shape because of guys getting into things. Guys get into things at the paper mill or mm-hmm. at the factory.
Yeah, right.
Tank, I'm sorry, Tim.
No, go ahead, V.
Tank, so with the Super Bowl ring, I know it opens up different doors for you and stuff like that. Yeah. Have you ever been starstruck? Have you ever met someone
at my Super Bowl, I met Alicia Keys.
Word?
And I was just like, wow.
I thought he was going to say Tom Brady or something like that.
No, and then my first, the Giants was the first team to play, like, abroad, and we played in London. Mm-hmm. And we had, like, an after party, and seeing, like, Beyonce and, like, Kelly Rowland. Mm-hmm. I'm like, wow. You know, I can't even lie. I'll tell you this before you let me go. It's like when we had the Parade of Champions,
mm-hmm.
and we got the key to the city. Mm-hmm. Like, one of my favorite movies growing up was The Color Purple. And okay. So Whoopi Goldberg was up there. So, like, I got a picture. Like, I'm like, yo.
That's
Whoopi Goldberg.
Like, All right.
That's we do a little game here, Tank. We need you for about 10 more minutes if you got it, if you can spare it. If not, we understand.
All right. Hey, you know what? Actually, let me call back.
All right.
I'll call you back. Because my son in here, like, about to beat me up.
No. You did fine, man. You go ahead and take care of the kids. You gave mm-hmm. us enough time.
Hell
so,
yeah.
Listen, man, we can't wait to see you on the 16th, man.
Yeah.
Thank you for everything that you do for the tournament, and just keep being you.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me on.
All right, thank you.
All right,
good,
man.
All right,
man. Y'all take care.
Yeah.
Yeah.